Your Honor, during Gracie's testimony this afternoon, we'll be talking about four different exhibits, and those are P95, P96, P98, and P97. Can you please state your name?
Catherine Grace Gibson Snyder.
And do you swear by Grace?
I do.
Good afternoon, Grace.
Good afternoon.
How old are you?
Sorry, closer to the microphone. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm 19 years old.
How old were you when this lawsuit was filed, Grace?
I was 16.
Have you ever testified in court before today?
I have not.
And where are you from?
Missoula.
What family members do you live with, Grace?
I live with my mom, my dad, and my dog.
Do you have other family in Montana?
I do. I have grandparents in Kalispell. I have aunts, uncles, and cousins in Missoula. I've had family in Livingston and across the state otherwise. I still have great uncles in Livingston. And
are your parents originally from Montana?
My dad is not. My mom is, she grew up in Butte and Helena and Livingston.
How long has your mom's family been in Montana?
I am the fifth generation born here and the sixth to live here. And my ancestors came over on the Bozeman Trail. Ellen Gordon Fletcher is my great-great-great-grandmother, and she traveled the Bozeman Trail in 1866 and settled near Virginia City.
What do you like to do for fun, Grace?
Well, I like to read. I like to play cello. I like to hike and backpack, bike, especially kind of long distance. I am learning how to kayak.
Where do you like to go hiking?
Well, in Missoula, there's plenty of hikes within, 10 or 15 minutes bike from my house, so I go around there a lot. I've also spent quite a bit of time in Glacier National Park, and then even more so in Yellowstone, especially like the very northern part of it.
What high school did you attend, Grace?
Elgin High School.
Did you play sports in high school?
I did. I played soccer all 4 years.
Do you still play?
Recreationally, at school, yeah.
What year did you graduate from high school?
2021.
Were you involved in any clubs in high school?
I was in a various, assortment of service clubs. The one that I was most involved with is called SAVE, Students Against Violating the Environment.
Did you do any service projects while you were in high school?
I did, both with those clubs and outside of them. The first and kind of most ongoing project was a project to reduce single-use plastic use in Missoula's restaurants, and I termed it BYO, Bring Your Own.
Did you go to college right after you graduated from high school in the fall?
I didn't. I took a gap year.
What did you do during that year?
So I moved to D.C. for a few months in the fall, and then I spent the winter back at home, and then I spent 4 months in the spring abroad in Jordan studying Arabic.
And did you work for any environmental causes while you were in D.C.?
I did. I worked as a canvasser for Environment Virginia, canvassing in Northern Virginia, for a ban on neonic pesticides that kill bees and other pollinators.
Are you in college now, Grace?
I am.
Where do you go to college?
I just finished my first year at Yale University.
And have you declared a major yet?
I haven't, no. But I plan on studying global affairs and focusing in environmental policy.
And what about that subject matter interests you?
So in the BYO project that I mentioned earlier, I was doing all of this kind of, community outreach and talking to community members about plastic use. And then I started doing some background research, and I looked up the number of straws that the United States uses daily. It's kind of unfathomable. And it occurred to me that, the individual work that I was doing, you know, on the individual or the super, super local level, you know, working with individuals was not enough to solve the plastics problem, much less the other even bigger problem of climate change. And so I became interested in policy as a solution. And I still firmly believe that policy is the way to, you know, a quick and a lasting solution to these problems. And I would love to contribute to that on any level of government that I can.
I know you're still pretty young, but do you have any ideas what you'd like to do for a career?
It changes regularly, but I, like I said, I've been interested in policy work, environmental policy. So, I have thought about, you know, in federal policy, but I'm also have a growing interest in working in the state government to protect, you know, Montana specifically, my home. Vocabulary, I think, as a lot of my generation has. One of my earliest memories engaging with the concept, I was 4 or 5. And my best friend is Marshall Lee. She's from the Marshall Islands. And we, you know, we're reading about how the Marshall Islands with like the, an average elevation of like maybe 6 feet. It's very, they're very low islands. We read that they will be underwater in a number of years. And we put up posters around town that said, save the Marshall Islands. All misspelled, I'm sure. And so that was kind of my first memory. And then as I got older, I remember watching a documentary in middle school about the melting ice caps. And then as I got even older, the beginning of high school, and I started to, you know, track the relationship between the climate science that I was hearing about at school and then, you know, the impacts that I was seeing in real life, I think I became fully aware of the true connection, the true severity of the climate crisis.
Have you worked on climate change issues yourself, Grace?
I have at the local level, yeah. I've worked on some of the projects that I mentioned before and with other local groups.
And do you recall how you got your start working on climate change issues at the local level?
The BYO project was my first foray into kind of environmental work. And from there, I got to know other environmentalists around town and kind of the different work that they were doing. And from there, narrowed in on climate change is the issue that I wanted to put my full attention to.
And so would you say at this point in time, climate change is your main issue?
It is.
Did you work for a nonprofit this summer after you graduated from high school?
I did. I worked for Families for a Livable Climate, which is a nonprofit based in Missoula. I worked as their outreach and communications coordinator. And so I organized events and kind of, yeah, community education, outreach, and events like that.
So what types of events would you organize?
For example, we organized a summit of people to talk about the impacts of climate change on their mental health, particularly in the climate change organizing space, like the one that, you know, I have operated in and out of. We also had, I mentioned, community education events. So we would host, like, park play dates is what we call them, where it would be families, because it's families for a livable climate, families that would come and talk about climate change in a way that was accessible for people of all ages. One of these events was canceled due to wildfire smoke because this was during COVID, so everything was held outside. And so, so that was one of the events that I remember particularly.
Thanks, Grace. And so I put up a slide on the screen marked as Planet's Exhibit P96. Do you recognize this image?
I do. This is an Instagram post that I created for our social media announcing that the park playdate that we were hosting that night was canceled for poor air quality.
Did you take this screenshot?
I did take the screenshot.
Is this an accurate representation of the Instagram post you made on that day?
It is. It is the Instagram post.
So you testified earlier, Grace, that you played soccer all 4 years in high school. Would you say you played competitive soccer then?
Yeah, I've played since I was like 4, but I played on the JV and varsity teams for Hellgate.
Can you explain to us what the past few years of high school were like playing soccer?
Yes. So They were great. I had a great time. I love soccer. One of my kind of defining memories of my soccer experience was the smoke that we interacted with every year. My freshman year, I remember coming in and going to the preseason practices, which are a bunch of fitness training and everything before the year starts, before the season starts. And we had about 2 weeks of that before, and a lot of the practices were smoked out. And so the air quality was so poor in Missoula that we had to move, either cancel practice entirely or move it to the Rattlesnake Elementary Gym, which is a couple blocks away. And I remember holding a practice in the gym, and then it was sweltering in the gym because it's, you know, 90, 95 degrees in August. And then so we opened the doors. So, of course, the smoke all flooded in. And so it's kind of an inescapable phenomenon to you know, deal with the smoke in the summers in Missoula.
Do you recall a specific game that was impacted by wildfire smoke?
I remember my senior year, we were playing Butte, so we drove to Butte for the game at their fields, and as we were driving, we could see the smoke, and, you know, it's not pleasant to play in the smoke for anyone. I mean, it's so uncomfortable to breathe in, especially when you're exercising and you're breathing deeper, and it's, you know, scratching down your lungs, and you can feel it in your throat and your eyes and your nose. It's so uncomfortable. And then it's truly harmful for developing lungs too. And, you know, a number of students on my team had asthma, and they couldn't play at all in the weather. So they had to sit parts of the season out, or in the smoke, not in the weather. And then as we got to Butte, you know, the JV game started, and then we started warming up, and the smoke was just getting denser and denser. We started our game, and it was canceled about 20 minutes in because we're like, this is just unbelievable. We can't have you playing in the smoke. It's way too dangerous.
Do you feel like you played during that game for a time? Did you feel like you were breathing in smoke?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I felt it before I started exercising. So once I was running and, you know, sprinting up and down the field, it just fills your lungs.
Has it been hard to escape wildfire smoke in Missoula in some years?
Yeah. Once it kind of settles into the valley, it's, you know, you're always hoping for a bit of relief, but, you know, as when I'm home and my parents are at work, it's my job to, close the windows, you know, 9 or 10 in the morning, as soon as the smoke really starts to get thick, to make sure it doesn't get into the house. So we have some sort of little safe haven. But it's still, I mean, I remember it's like in hair, like you just smell like, you smell like you've been standing next to a campfire, and it's inescapable, and it's really gross.
Would you say that wildfire smoke impacted your ability to train for soccer at a high level?
Absolutely, yeah. With that number of practices and games canceled, for sure.
Do you have concerns about the impacts playing and practicing in soccer will have on your physical health in the long term?
I'm not sure in the long term, like, to what extent. I'm 19. It's only been a few years. I think, especially with continued exposure over the next few years, as I spend more and more summers in Missoula, and I still like to run, and I still like to play and play pickup soccer. And if I continue to breathe in that smoke, I can imagine that it will certainly have health impacts.
There's an image displayed on the monitor right now, Grace. It's been marked as plaintiff's exhibit P95. Does this look familiar to you?
It is. This is a photo I took of the Missoula Valley on a hike with my friends. We had been, you know, inside trying to avoid the smoke for a while, so we went for a hike. And you look back over the valley, and it's super dense. I live about 8 blocks from Mount Sentinel, the main mountain you can see there. And sometimes you can't see the mountain from my house because the smoke is so dense. So this is not a terribly dense day.
Even though it's still an accurate representation of what it did look like that
day? Absolutely, yeah.
Would you say this amount of smoke has been a pretty regular occurrence in Missoula over the past several summers?
Yeah, I remember it, you know, being pretty prevalent most summers that I've lived here. Mm-hmm.
And remind us again how many summers you lived in Montana.
One when I was a baby, and then 12 or 13 since.
How about the heat, Grace? Have you experienced any, have you had experience dealing with extreme heat?
Yeah, we have, you know, we've definitely had, in my experience, increasing days of extreme heat. you know, as I've gotten older.
I'm going to put another slide up that's been marked as plaintiff's exhibit P98. Does this photo look familiar to you?
Yes, this is a photo I took in Glacier National Park. I was on a hike with some friends, and we came around a corner and looked over, you know, the kind of the mountain we had just crested, and the valley on the other side was just filled with smoke.
Can you describe that hike in more detail for us?
Of course, yeah. This is a hike kind of near Logan Pass in Glacier that is about a 10-mile loop, and you come up and around a mountain. It's beautiful. It's one of my favorite hikes ever. I've done it a few times.
I'd like to show you now another photo on the monitor that's been marked as plaintiff's exhibit P97. Do you recognize this one?
I do. I took this photo on the same hike. So as you come around the mountain, you can see Sexton Glacier a ways off the trail. And my friends and I decided to kind of get closer to it because it's, you know, even in Montana, it's not often you get to stand right next to the glacier. So we walked over to see it up close. And this stream that you can see at the bottom there kind of ended up cascading down the cliffs down into the valley. And yeah, so we were standing there by this glacier, watching it melt.
Can you put yourself back on that day and remember how you felt standing there watching that glacier melt?
Yeah, I remember the water was super loud because it was kind of going down this cliff, but it was crashing, and I was really shocked at the actual volume of water that there was. And I don't fully understand that there's natural runoff from glaciers. It's warm in the summer. Things melt when it's warm. But, you know, knowing the greater trend of Montana's and glaciers shrinking and disappearing over the last, you know, half century maybe, and seeing the comparison pictures from the 60s to now, made it a striking experience to watch it happen in real time. You know, the whatever, you know, extent of that was natural versus exacerbated is not up to me to say, but it was kind of devastating to watch this thing that's so unique, so special to Montana, so powerful to be next to, and know that I was watching it go away. I know it may not be here when I'm older or for my children.
Grace, have you spent a lot of time also on Montana's rivers with your family?
I have. Like I said, I'm learning how to kayak, not great at it yet, but I'm working on it. And I've grown up, you know, in canoes and, you know, rafting in the summers.
Do you have plans to work as a river guide one day?
I would love to. I thought about it this summer, and I'm definitely looking at it next summer. I've talked to a company.
And your experiences rafting rivers in Montana, have you noticed any changes in the amount of flow coming down the river during the summer?
Yeah, I'm not an expert, again, on kind of the, you know, river levels and the way it changes over time, but I have this really vivid memory of when I was probably 10, we had a group of family friends in from Seattle, and so we took them on the river, as you do with out-of-town guests, and it was a bunch of other 10-year-olds and me sitting in the raft going down the Clark Fork, and it was kind of midsummer, and the water was so low that my dad had to get out and pull the raft because the sandbar stretched, you know, all the way across the river and for a ways, like you can't paddle the raft. And so I think it was a good example of how, you know, low the water can drop, and it really seems to be low for a lot longer these days.
Grace, were you here earlier when Dr. Running was testifying?
I was.
Do you believe we are in the middle of a climate crisis?
I do.
And how does that belief impact you personally?
I have grown up, you know, at least for the last 5 or 6 years, knowing that the future of the places that I love and the future of my health and those of the people and that of the people that I love is in question. And I think my presiding emotion about that is a fear of loss of these beautiful spaces that I've grown up in, that I would love to, you know, experience throughout my life. In addition to that, there's, you know, frustration, there's guilt in the times that I don't feel like I'm doing my part. And it's, you know, it's a very intense state of suspension to live in.
Do you ever think about how your future will be impacted?
I do. In addition to my questions about how my own life and the places that I love to be in, and my health will be impacted, I've also thought a lot about my children, my potential children, yet unborn children. I would love to raise a family, but knowing that they may not grow up with the same places that I did, knowing that, you know, hopefully at best, they feel the same loss of the places that have already been gone that I feel. And, you know, the anxiety and the, just deep grief that comes with that. And knowing that if we don't make any changes, they will be suffering from this, from the more, even more extreme physical impacts, you know, the wildfires and the droughts and the floods and all of these things that will be directly impacting their health. I'm not sure if I can morally or ethically have children of my own.
Does the future impacted by these uncertainties of climate change make you afraid, Grace?
It does.
And what about that future scares you the most?
I think so many things come to mind. The most, knowing that, you know, people will be harmed, whether that's myself or my children or my family or anyone across the state or anyone across the world.
Grace, you testified earlier that you've done quite a bit of work yourself on climate issues. How do you feel when you're not working on climate issues?
Well, I'm 19. I go to school. I have friends. I like to do fun things. But I will often have this moment in the middle of whatever else I'm doing where of just as like kind of crushing guilt. Why am I spending time on other things when there is this crisis to be managed? When it is my life and so many years of my life that are up and that are in question, why am I not doing everything that I can? And this guilt also often gives way to frustration with the fact that it is in my mind. It shouldn't have to be in my mind. Ideally, it wouldn't be in any of our minds. It would have been solved 50 years ago, but it's in my mind now. And as youth, as, you know, a young person, I don't think it is my responsibility to be dealing with the physical impacts, the mental impacts, or the guilt of feeling like it's my responsibility to fix this.
That sounds like a big weight that you put on your shoulders, Grace.
It feels like one, yeah.
Does that weight have an impact on your mental health?
It does. I mean, it's kind of an omnipresent, you know, emotion that'll crop up at the most inconvenient times.
Do you believe you, as a young person, are experiencing these impacts in a way that older generations will not?
I think so, yeah. I mean, apart from the exacerbated health impacts on youth, there's just knowing that I have, you know, hopefully 80 years left of living, you know, in and around Montana and living on this earth and knowing that my health will be in danger for those 80 years, my livelihood, my home. That's a long time to live with that and to wrestle with this for that long. And that's a burden that older generations do not have to carry.
Grace, you testified earlier that you have an interest in working in state government, and particularly in Montana state government in the future. Do you believe that Montana state government has a role to play in setting climate policy?
I do. I think every government has a role to play in setting climate policy. And as, you know, a huge emitter of greenhouse gases, as a huge fossil fuel resource, Montana has a particular responsibility to, you know, cease its promotion of fossil fuels. And I also see the clean energy transition as an opportunity. This is an opportunity for Montana to leave behind this way of life that is not only depleting Montana's resources, but harming its people, and moving towards a new way of life that is safe, it's, you know, sustainable, and it's prosperous, and it can be made so, and it is shown to be so. And so I think Montana's government does have a responsibility to make this difference, and not least to uphold our rights to a safe climate.
Grace, do you believe your government has a responsibility to you?
I am a citizen. Yeah, they do have a responsibility to me. It's my belief that the role of government is to protect its people. That's why governments were created. And when they are actively making choices that are shown to harm the people at hand, that is a betrayal of the people, and it's undermining the role of government in our society. And it is something that needs to be changed.
Grace, why did you become a plaintiff in this lawsuit and sue the state of Montana?
I was 16 when this case was filed. I couldn't vote. And as someone who can't, you know, influence the legislature, I had very few ways of asking the government to do what is best for my health and my rights. And, you know, the way that was left to me was to ask the courts to uphold our rights and bring the state back in line with the Constitution. And so, you know, motivated by my love for Montana and my own future, I joined this case to ask the court to do that.
Grace, do you have hope that we can address climate change before it's too late?
I do have hope. I also have a healthy dose of urgency.
How would prevailing in this lawsuit help you personally?
You mentioned earlier the burden of feeling like this is my responsibility to deal with, to take care of, to fix, and knowing that, you know, a positive outcome in this suit and that the state would be held accountable and remain in line with the Constitution would take a large portion of the weight off, to know that my government is protecting me and doing as it should. And, you know, even better, being a leader in this new, you know, lovely developing sector. It's a great opportunity. But knowing that my most immediate government is protecting me is, I think, the least I can ask for my government.
Thank you, Grace. I have no further questions. And, Your Honor, I'd like to move into evidence. Plaintiff's exhibits P95, P96, P97, and P98.
No objection.
95, 96, 97, and 98 are admitted. And cross?
No questions, Your Honor.
No questions? All right, you may step down. Thank you.